Well, good morning, Kathy. Here
good
we are
morning.
in End Times Friday, and this will be aired September the 20th, which is coming up. I know you're getting ready for a trip and then retreats, and we're getting ready for retreats out on the East Coast, and that'll be fun. We are, you know, we're taping this ahead of time. Our son Peter and his wife Shira, for our Linda and I birthday, so anniversary, all this stuff, which is summertime for them. They are taking us up to Vail for the weekend. You know, we just went through, we taped courses, as everybody know, Abide Ministries has these beautiful courses online, and we taped four more of them.
Okay.
Yeah, we do four more that we did, and we're adding to it. It's always, you know, and you and I talk about the supernatural, and we get to experience it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're taping production, you know, with high technology stuff.
Right.
And we always pray, Father, would you have us, because it's 4 days of taping. You know, hour after hour after hour. So if you start to get behind or something happens, it's problematic because people have schedules, you know, that they can come and they got to go.
And people have flown in and out of town for it and everything.
So we always pray, you know, Father, could we get through the whole thing with no glitches? And it happens every time. It happened, you know, this time, zero glitches, none, you know. You know, we've taught these courses, as you know, we do retreats and we teach the material. Process material. When we tape, it's always fun, and this is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, is things that are said that I never said before, he just brings a clarity about it and a way of expressing it that I wouldn't have thought myself, you know. So and I notice it.
I love it.
Is like, that's the Holy Spirit, you know, and that's a supernatural thing. So that's a privilege. And so we, you know, we spent the week with a large group of people doing the taping. And now Peter and Shara gave us this trip, and they're going to go with us up to Vail
and nice.
enjoy
the
mountain.
The colors are starting there already,
be starting. Yeah, yep. We'll start to see the colors. Yep. Then we head off to New Hampshire. So we're excited. I know you're going to... you're going down to New York City, right? At the end of the month?
We are, yeah. So to celebrate Dan's birthday and you've heard me talk about Shanna and Weston before. I know you've met them actually at the different weddings for our kids. But they are-
You got any more weddings coming up?
I have no more weddings. We're done. but we have been lifelong friends with them. Shanna and I actually had Josh and McKenna several days apart when we lived in Texas years ago and have been friends ever since. So anyway, Weston's birthday is very close to Dan's birthday. And so the four of us, they live in Waco, Texas right now. And the four of us are meeting in New York City and going to have a birthday weekend, have a lot of fun things planned. Going to go see Hamilton on Broadway, which we love. So that'll be exciting. And have a mystery picnic planned. So just some fun things to do, but always just, you know, it's always a privilege to be with other people who love Jesus, period. There. And so it will be refreshing. It'll be refueling. And I'm sure we'll come back with several funny stories because we always do. But we are definitely looking forward to that. And
that's
we're taking
beautiful.
The train down this time.
Which oh, you are? Okay.
Fun. Yeah. Instead of driving. It's not a difficult drive. It's just cumbersome when you get into New York. And so we decided this time it's just the two of us. So why not? We're just going to hop on the train and relax our way down there.
Are you, do you wind up at Central Park or Central Station?
Yes. Yeah. So we get in there and then we'll just, I think from there we can even walk to our hotel. We may need to Uber to it, but I don't think it's that far. We're staying down, you know, in the, I forget what it's called, the Midtown area, but at the Warwick Hotel. So it'll be super fun.
Yep.
Near the theater. We're kind of near the theater.
Well, we're, you know, we've continuing on our discussion of the signs of what is happening today that actually the Bible has spoken about. And therefore, since the Bible illustrates it, and we can now see the fulfillment of some of that, is that basically mean we're accelerating toward that time of the end? Mm-hmm. And again, our what God has asked us to do is that there are lots of signs. Mm-hmm. So he said, don't ignore those. And it's okay to talk about them. Now, we always say that because Christ said this, he said, nobody will know the exact time of it. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't even know it. The Father hasn't revealed that to me either. I think purposely, by the way, because if he would have known it, mm-hmm. we know one thing the disciples would have done was be to pester him, you know, when it is. And he, is that he makes a statement, which actually we'll read here. But he basically says, the end is at hand. Mm-hmm. The end is near. Now, when we say that, when you and I say that, the end is near in our mind, well, that means it's pretty close in time.
Right.
Because that's what he says. And of course, he said, watch as a sign. So God has asked us to keep this in front of people because of the evidence that time may be now. Mm-hmm. And so we just need to talk about it without assurance that it absolutely is. But secondly, that the type of things that are happening, even if it isn't the end, right, means that the world is getting less stable, mm-hmm, and less certain. So right, interesting enough, and I think actually it's healthy, because if I know that life is uncertain and I can't assume anything, that, you know, for example, that I'll always have a certain economic situation, or I'll always have my job, or my money will be worth something. If I don't assume that, I have a stronger heart to go seek God and say, okay, what do you have to show me? Right. And that's part of what we're trying to say to the audience is, let's not ignore that we absolutely could be headed toward this end time, and there will be a time that will actually happen, and maybe we're part of it. But secondly, don't ignore what is happening. Mm-hmm. And then what, Father, then would you have us understand about that, to have you give us a covenant through all that trouble that's coming up, and the world scenario is getting more troubled. Right. And we know that.
It's interesting as you say that, I am reminded of a quote that I read just the other day that I'd love to share, because I think when we talk about how these signs are coming, there are several different reactions that happen to that, right? And some people begin to get very fearful. Some people begin to take things in their own hands. Other people really lean into God, which is really what we're trying to teach people and encourage people, is like, what does it look like to lean into God, see what he has to say, and let him walk you into this? But there's a quote by Oswald Chambers that says, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else.
Ah, that's interesting. I love that.
And I was like, that is solid, right? I really like that. And I think when we're talking about these things, that's something to really consider is what does it look like to truly walk in the fear of God?
Right.
And not in the fear of what is coming, but paying attention to the signs and then leaning into him to lead and guide us, right?
Yeah. I just want to read again the introduction of Revelation, which is where our call came from, is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave Christ him to show his servants, us, mm-hmm, things which must shortly take place. And that's, right. Okay, it's going to happen.
Shortly.
Angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Mm-hmm. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear. So he's saying, you know, spend time with it and listen and receive it. Mm-hmm. The words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So he knew, by the way, when he gave that, I'm talking Jesus knew this, because everybody reading that would say, hey, it's going to happen any minute now.
Right.
Interesting enough, we know it's 2,000 years later already. Mm-hmm. But the time is still near, you know. And so, and what we want to keep talking about is really Christ's instruction. Mm-hmm. It's going to benefit you to read, hear, and pay attention to follow through on what I've written to show you something that actually does impact your life, even though you may not experience the actual end time. Mm-hmm. Or all these things that are going to happen, but you're going to experience elements of it. We discussed, and remember, we're in this part of, and we interrupted that, you know, with our time with Israel. By the way, we're going to have Denny Weinberg back, and maybe Eric back, and they together. This is really interesting, Kathy. We know that Eric is a pure Jew, and he's not at the moment a believer, but he's very favorable toward believers, including his relationship with Denny.
Right.
If anybody remembers, a couple weeks ago, I raised up a question. Actually, I think it was last week. Not last week. Sorry, it'll be a couple weeks now from the time this airs. Well, what do the Jews think about Jesus as the Messiah?
Right.
And he said, well, I'm not sure I'm qualified to answer that. But here's what happened. He's intrigued by that. And he's working with Denny. He said, this is coming from Eric. I know people here that can answer that question. So let's try to get them on the podcast. And he said, I'd like to join it. I'd like to be on that podcast. So God's at work in a big, big way. And we're all part of it. And all we're doing is watching about, you know, what a mm-hmm. privilege is that. So, but we're talking now about the signs. You know, we've gone through, you know, a few of them, Israel is back in its land, they're back controlling the land, ruling the land. We discussed last time that there's enemies surrounding Israel. And by the way, what's the objective? What did we learn is the objective of those enemies?
They want to wipe them out.
Yeah, want to wipe them off the face of the earth, literally. Yeah. And this is what's so, to me, it's exciting in the Bible. That's what it says in the Bible, written. Right. You know, many, many centuries ago, millenniums ago. Well, the enemy that is now there say the exact same words. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, do you see? You know, do you understand that? You know, yeah, I do. So the next one is that given that the enemy is there, he said there's another element here. Mm-hmm. That I'm giving the ability of Israel to defend itself. Mm-hmm. I speak about that in the Bible, and then we can talk about the reality of that. So let's look at Ezekiel 37. It's a beautiful chapter, and it has a lot of meaning, which we'll talk about. Ezekiel 37, 1 to 10.
Sure. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and I was as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army.
Okay. Basically, you know, the dry bones is representing that there's no life there. Mm-hmm. In 70 AD, the Romans conquered Israel. And again, I think we discussed this last time. They were ruling Israel, mm-hmm. but it was out of what was called a benevolent dictatorship relationship.
Right.
And what they would do, and by the way, as we read the New Testament, one thing we keep hearing about is centurions. Mm-hmm. Those are Roman soldiers, and the centurion was basically a lieutenant in charge of 100 men. Well, they were everywhere. So the Romans, when they conquered somebody, they said, first of all, we're going to place our army there, and they're going to be everywhere around. So basically, if I was you, I wouldn't attack any of them, because if you do, we're going to annihilate you.
Right.
So they're there. Then they said, if you cooperate with us, we'll let you as a country continue to have some rulership over that country. Mm-hmm. So that when Jesus, again, was there during his ministry, and he winds up with Pilate, Pilate is the Roman prefect that's in charge of Israel. Would be processing that he's in charge of Israel. Then he had Herod, who was his subordinate, ruling the Jewish nation of Israel. But it was always subject to Pilate and subject to Rome. And they said, if you cooperate with us, and by the way, we're going to collect taxes, mm-hmm. you know, which remember the story of Jesus saying, you know, go ahead and give the taxes
due. Due to Caesar.
Give to Caesar what is due. Give to Rome what's due. And they would take the taxes, and they would take some of them back home mm-hmm. to Rome. And the other ones, they say, we'll give it back to you. And you build roads and you build things, you know, so that they were a very progressive place. So that's how things functioned well. And when Jesus came into the world, that's the system that was there. Well, okay. In 70 AD, because of Nero, they got pretty upset with both the Jewish scenario and the Christian scenario. And so they decided to destroy it. And they came in and eliminated that relationship. So you don't function anymore as a country. They literally destroyed the walls. They destroyed the temple. Mm-hmm. They put everything that they could so that you couldn't function there anymore. And that caused the Jews that you no longer have a nation. Mm-hmm. And that's called the Great Diaspora, where they spread. They dispersed.
Right.
And they started going away because they couldn't live there anymore.
All over the world,
right. And they had no nation, so they had nowhere to congregate. Ezekiel, Christ is saying here, God is saying here, that there'll be a moment when the dry bones means they're still there, but they're not there. Mm.
Okay.
And so he said the essence of Israel, interesting enough, is still there.
Oh, interesting.
And there'll be a moment where it'll come to life, and you know, the bones get up. So it's not just a skeleton. but the body comes back, the flesh comes back, and then I breathe life into it, and it's reformed up just like it was before. And in 1947, now about 2,000 years after 70 AD, the United Nations set up Israel as a country. Mm-hmm. And then in 67, they won the Six-Day War, and they gained back all the land. And now they rule the government there, which we talked about, is that, and they have an enemy. And God says, as they come together, he makes an interesting statement. Read verse 10 again, because it's interesting what he says, that this is one of those things where you're reading scripture, you read something like that, and you tend to bypass it. But it's an interesting statement. 10, Ezekiel 37:10.
Says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army.
Okay, so, okay, they lived, they stood on their feet, they came together. What did they become?
An exceedingly great army.
An exceedingly great army, so that while I'm putting them back to life as a country now, I'm giving them the essence of them becoming an exceedingly great army. And basically the Hebrew there is superior. I'm providing them a superior army. Okay, so think about this. They first are formed up. Everybody else around them has better armies than them, has it better technology than them.
Right.
I'm going to give them an exceedingly great army, and they're going to become that. Interesting enough, greatest army and the greatest technology is Israel. And God has given them this over time. And what is said in scripture is true. Okay, so go to then Zechariah 12 and read verses 1 to 8.
Sure. It says, the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day, I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in the woodpile and like a fiery torch in the sheaves. They shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left, but Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, Jerusalem. The Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem.
Yep. So, you know, he describes that, you know, because of their pride, they're going to be ruined. I'm going to restore them. And as they're restored, I'm going to strengthen them to the point where ultimately, it says that they will be able to defend themselves. And not only will they defend themselves, and they'll be greater than everybody else, but read verse 9 again.
It says, it shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem.
Okay, now. I'm going to give them the, and just think about this. And this is really critical as we understand things right now. And why we always continue to discuss the significance of Israel and what happens, so that we know that the enemy, which we saw last time, wants to get rid of them and literally wipe them off the face of the earth. Right. And Iran, by the way, is developing a nuclear weapon that you think of, if they just dropped a big nuclear bomb in the middle of Israel, that'd be it.
Right.
It'd be over. Well, we say, is that going to happen? Is that going to happen? When is that going to happen? Could it happen? The Bible says it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm giving Israel the ability to defend itself,
right,
which means somehow that nuclear weapon is never dropped on Israel, which means technically they have to do something else, disarm it in some way or prevent it in some way. And it's true. It's absolutely true. Because why? Well, Israel is what's left standing at the end. Because why? At the very end, it's called the Battle of Armageddon.
Right.
The nations, the world is coming against Israel. They gather in the Valley of Megiddo, and they start to march with 200 million people, thinking that they can defeat Israel. And Christ returns. Mm-hmm. And we actually read last time that the blood rises up above, 10 feet because of all the slaughter that happens there at that battle. Well, if that battle occurs, then Israel must exist.
Right.
So we can say, well, that's they're not going to get eliminated. And God said, I'm going to give them the power to defend themselves. And they have incredible technology. And this is probably over the last 10 years, but I'm sure you've heard reference to the Iron Dome.
Yes, yeah.
And what that means is that they've developed a technology that as missiles are launched into Israel, the system defines, is this going to hit a populated area? If it hits a rural, non-populated area, they'll let it hit. If it's going to hit a populated area, they shoot it out of the sky. Because of their technology.
And it's very effective.
It's super effective, like 99% effective because of the technology God gave them. And then they've just recently, and that would be what I would say, think of short-term missiles. Mm-hmm. These are being launched like they were launched from Hamas and Hezbollah because they were nearby.
Right.
Well, now they have a technology that can manage long-term missiles. So if they're launched in the Mediterranean or they're launched from Iran, they can shoot them down too. And it's all brand new. This is all happened in the last couple of years.
Is this new in the last little bit?
This is all brand new stuff that they now have that capability. And then it says that what's really going to happen is God says, I'm going to destroy all the enemy of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, when does that happen? Battle of Armageddon.
Right.
And so the scriptures say, I'm going to give Israel an exceedingly great army. And interestingly enough, he says they become an exceedingly great army. Now, this is something that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Guess who has to serve in the army?
All the Israelites.
Everybody.
Yeah.
See, everybody. Men, women, they all have to go to the army and serve for at least a couple of years so that it's not, I recruit an army. They become an army. Mm. And that's how God developed it, and they had this process where they stepped into, everybody's going to learn to be, someone in the army and defending themselves. And they do. So that they didn't just recruit an army. God says they became an army.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It's true.
So that is in Israel, man, woman, is there like a required age they go in serve a certain number?
When they turn 20, they now go through a process of how soon can you serve your 2 years? And they have to serve a minimum of 2 years. And of course, many serve longer than that, but every single person, you're not exempt from that.
Right.
Okay. You're going, now, by the way, what it trains you, they train them in the technology. They train them in the art of defense. They show them. And what happens, by the way, is they get educated on who is the enemy and what do you do with this? And, of course, you know, they go into, you know, just like we have, we call it, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with the Navy SEAL program.
Right.
Those would be the elite.
Right.
So it's not everybody becomes elite. And there's in Israel, they have super elite, that can do things and they know how to do it. So, and you can go serve in the army, but you're part of the exceedingly great army.
Right.
And you become it. And the purpose they show you, and this is interesting because when I met with Netanyahu personally, he said, "We have no desire to be aggressive in any way." He said, we are not thinking, how can we expand beyond our border? How can we conquer the nation next to us? He said, we don't even think that way. Mm-hmm. He said, by the way, and he said, you and I mean, this is, by the way, pre-9/11. He says, you in America, what do you care about? Well, we care about the economy. Mm-hmm. We'd like to have peace. We want to have freedom. And we basically want to enjoy life. He said, guess what? That's what we want.
So do
we. He said, unfortunately, you have the privilege of never having anybody attack you. That was pre-9/11, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so you don't even think about that someday you could have an attack. Well, we're surrounded by everybody that wants to wipe us off the face of the earth. So any day when I go down to the store with my wife and children, I think this could be the day that we're gone and we're attacked.
That's a reality. Yeah.
That's a reality. We got to live with that. But he said, our heart is absolutely not to be aggressive in any way and to initiate an attack to try to do something. All we do is defend ourselves. Now, he said, there is a principle that we operate under. Mm-hmm. If you attack us, we are going to defend ourselves and we're going to attack you back right then to try to stop your continued attack of us.
Right.
So they're not passive. So the exceedingly great army is taught, we're not the aggressor. We want to treat people with honor and respect, but if they attack us, we're going to defend ourselves. And here's how you do it. And then if they attack us, we're going to shut that down so they can't keep doing it. And by the way, we just saw that what happened when Hamas attacked October 7th.
Right.
Okay. All right. Now that you've done that, we weren't planning to do this, but now that you did that, we're going to make sure that you become neutralized, and they do, and they're neutralized. We'll talk more about that with Denny and Eric. Well, guess what? Hezbollah did the same thing. Okay, well, let's attack them now. And they were getting ready, by the way, to launch several 10,000-plus missiles beyond just the burning. Remember we talked about the burning?
Right.
Okay, now we're going to go after the cities with missiles. Israel, because of their intelligence, knew it. And guess what? They went in and took it out.
Wow.
And they never could attack them because they said, well, we're not going to let you attack us. And they literally took it out. The world was waiting. What are they going to do? Mm-hmm. Hezbollah. Guess what? Nothing. Okay. Now think about that. they still have capability, but why do you think they didn't? Because they know why. Israel has a superior technology. Mm-hmm. Israel has a superior, exceedingly great army. And yeah, we could push it, but probably not a good idea at the moment.
Right.
That doesn't mean they're not going to try later.
Right.
But at the moment, we are not going to retaliate because if we do, we're going to wind up like Hamas, which is kind of neutralized. So we're going to just stay kind of neutral at the moment. And they didn't respond. Why? Israel's exceedingly great army. Mm. Why? That's what the scriptures say. You know, do you see how cool that is? Is that, and as we look at it, see that to us is a sign. Mm-hmm. Do you see? Do you understand what's happened? I spoke it. It's happened. And that happens during the end.
Right. And my words are sure.
Words are sure. And you can trust it. So he starts to connect the dots with it. So we'll keep going with this. We're going to have Denny and others on, and we'll keep talking about this because there's other signs. And all we're doing here is just kind of illustrating what the scripture said. It's happening today. And does that mean that that's indicating that maybe we're headed toward the end? And the answer mm-hmm. is it could be, because we can specifically see it.
Right.
And that's what the one thing I think that's unique where we are. And that is this. Up until 1947, if you said, well, Israel has an exceedingly great army in order to fulfill the end. Mm-hmm. Everybody who really dug into that would say, well, there's certain signs, but that one isn't there. Why? They're not even a nation.
Right.
So they don't have an army. So we got to look at that and say, well, okay. But today, so in our lifetime, in our lifetime, they have an exceedingly great army. Huh. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Wow. Look at that. So, anyway, right. So Father, thank you. Thank you for the truth of this. We're excited about it. We can keep going. And we understand something, that the truth of Scripture is being fulfilled, and we're supposed to watch those signs. So we just pray that we'll receive it, won't be afraid of it, and at the same time, not overinterpret it. And we praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Always fascinating and just so important for us to heed his word, because we can take him at his word. If he has said it, he will do it. So thanks again. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.